This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ever stop to take sight of the great big world in front of you? What about the great empire that lies beneath the ground you walk on? Good afternoon, I'm Jermaine B, and this is Careers Unusual, where we speak to people with jobs that are off the beaten path. Mikey Bustos is an ant keeper and ant enthusiast who runs his company and YouTube channel Ants Canada to help ant keepers alike around the world in the art of keeping ants. He speaks with us today on how he helps promote the hobby of ant keeping and even on how he contributes to habitat conservation through his love for ants.
Hi, I'm Mikey Bustos and I am an ant keeper.
So, Mikey, enlighten us about ant keeping. What exactly goes into the hobby of ant keeping?
Well, basically, it's essentially keeping pet ants. So it starts with catching a queen ant and then raising a colony from just the queen ant. That's all there is to it, really. And then creating a house and setup for them. And it's really fun to watch the colony grow.
And at what point did you decide to turn your hobby into a career?
I was really passionate about ant keeping starting in 2009. And then around 2010, I decided to turn it into a business. What I had done was I had created YouTube videos about my pet ants, and it was all just for fun. And in fact, I even said in one of my videos that I would never make this my work or a career. But turns out a lot of people liked the ant videos, and they were asking where they can get, you know, ant farms and homes that I was designing for my own ants. So I decided to create some ant farms and put them up on the website for sale. And on the first day, we sold some ant farms. And ever since then, since 2009, we've sold ant farms every single day to people around the world. It really just kind of grew into something bigger than I ever imagined it would.
It's interesting how you changed this whole thing into a career, really. But what's the story behind your passion and why ants?
I'm not too sure. I've always been into keeping pets and particularly into keeping exotic pets. But I think it was the whole social structure of ants that attracted me initially. I feel they're very much like people and they deal with the same things we humans have to deal with in everyday life, like garbage disposal and food distribution, dealing with disease. They even have ant graveyards and ant bathrooms. So they're very much like people. So keeping an ant farm, I find, was kind of like keeping a miniature city of humans. It's almost like a god's eye view of ourselves.
And how do you first start ant keeping?
Well, if you want to get into ant keeping, it basically starts with finding a queen ant. And the way it works is ants have a mating season, and to mate, the queens and male ants, they have wings and they fly in the air and they mate in the air. And then the queens drop to the ground, the males die, and these queens that drop to the ground, they break off their wings and they go in search of a secret place to go start their ant colonies. And ant keepers have to try to find these queens at that stage. And what you do is you catch these queens that have just mated and you raise them in a test tube setup and they have their first set of workers. And that's basically where the ant colony starts. So you move them from a test tube to an ant farm and the colony grows and grows and grows and you grow their setup as well as the colony grows. And it's really just interesting how it kind of progresses.
What sort of ants do you keep, out of curiosity? Are they the big ones, black ones, red ones?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, I've been keeping different kinds. I only keep native ant species or species that are caught wherever I'm living. So I first started in Canada, where I was keeping Canadian ants. The species I was keeping included carpenter ants and species like pavement ants and laceous ants, formica ants, various kinds. And now I currently live in Manila, Philippines, where they've got all sorts of ants, just kind of like Malaysia. We have similar ant species. So I'm currently keeping fire ants, black crazy ants, and yellow crazy ants.
And do you keep any other animals apart from ants?
I sure do. I keep a fish tank. I have a tarantula, and I also have a green tree python.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And if someone wants to get into the hobby of ant keeping, how should they go about it? Like, it sounds really difficult to care for thousands or millions of ants. Like, how do you maintain a controlled habitat for them?
Well, it's not as difficult or complex as it sounds, but there is a lot to know. So if anyone wants to get into the hobby of ant keeping, what I suggest is go to our website, that's antscanada.com, and we have a tab called Getting Started. Basically, it breaks it down from the beginning, and it shows you how to start with a queen ant, all the basics. We also have an FAQ for people who want to get in the hobby, and a very helpful ant forum on the website as well, where you can connect with people from all over the world who are keeping ants and learn from them. And a lot of them are journaling their experiences, so you can learn from that as well. And we also have very helpful YouTube tutorials on our YouTube channel. And there's a whole playlist there full of ant tutorials, which take you from the beginning pretty much. And those are all free to watch. We've basically, at Ants Canada, tried to make it as easy and accessible to newbies as we can, because we really feel like it's a great and exciting hobby that's educational and inspires conservation, which is really our main drive for the company. We want to inspire people to, you know, conserve their local ecosystems and the ants that live in it.
Mikey, how do you take care of the queen? And what happens if the queen dies?
Right. So the queen is really the most essential member of your colony, because she's the one who's going to be laying the eggs year after year, nonstop, basically, to keep the colony growing. She is the one that lasts the longest in the colony. The workers only live for a couple months. So basically, the hardest part is to get her from just a single cock queen when you first catch her to her first set of workers. Once those workers arrive, you get to worry less, because those workers are the ones to take care of her afterwards. So in this first stage, you have to house her in what's called a test tube setup, which is basically a test tube with a reservoir of water and cotton to divide the water from the queen, and another dry cotton ball plugging the entrance of the test tube so she can still breathe. And that's it. You basically just hide this test tube in the dark, and the queen has all she needs to raise her first set of workers. She actually feeds her young a self-made nutritional soup, which comes from her own body, which is kind of neat, to raise her first set of workers. So you essentially just have to provide a peaceful place for her and keep her nice and calm in this initial stage. And that's all there is to it, really.
Do you watch their behavior? Like, when you said that, it's interesting how they're pretty much like human beings. Can you share some of that with us?
Yes, yeah. So ants have to deal with the same set of problems that humans have. For example, food distribution. Every colony member in every ant colony has to eat. So, and that includes the young. And what's amazing about ants is they have this great system of food distribution where ants venture out of the nest and they bring food back to the nest, and every single member of the colony eats, no matter how many family members there are. And the way they do this is they transfer food from mouth to mouth. Inside their bodies, they have a social stomach, which is kind of like an internal lunchbox. So they don't have to carry the food with them all the time. They could just keep it inside their bodies and then just kind of puke it out for the other ants to devour, who then puke it out to the other ants and the babies as well. So all members of the colony don't go hungry. It's really, really great how they've mastered that food distribution problem. Another way is ants have to establish a garbage site, right? They can't just leave garbage everywhere, especially living underground where there can be bacteria infection and fungus. They have to be very clean animals. So all ants establish what's called a garbage site, and they leave all garbage in the same place. And they're very organized that way. They even have a graveyard where they dump all the dead and they put it away in a pile somewhere outside of the nest. It's really neat how structured their societies are.
When we come back, Mikey shares with us more on his YouTube channel, Ants Canada, as well as the challenges that comes with keeping ants. Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Careers Unusual on Enterprise with me, Jermaine B. Today, I speak to Mikey Bustos, an ant keeper. Yes, you heard that right. He keeps ants for a career. How did he turn his hobby of ant keeping into a career? Mikey shares more about Ants Canada, along with some of the challenges he faces alongside it. You started Ants Canada, didn't you?
Yes.
What do you do in Ants Canada, and what does Ants Canada do for ant lovers out there?
Okay, well, we do several things. First, Ants Canada started as just a YouTube channel. So back in 2009, I filmed my pet ants and I started this YouTube channel in hopes to further promote the hobby. And once that took off, we opened a shop. I mean, I started making ant farms in my parents' basement. And more people wanted to buy the ant farms. And eventually, the orders came in such great quantity that it became impossible for me to keep up. So eventually, I partnered with someone in China. And now our products are manufactured in China. And I also partnered with someone in US to be our fulfillment head. All of our products now are shipped from China, manufactured in China, and then shipped to Utah, where we then ship to our customers. So the shop became a very big global operation. We also have a customer service office where we have people answering the hundreds of emails that come in daily, asking us about ant questions, customer service, and we have that as well. A few years ago, I started this project called the GAN Project, which is another entity of the Ants Canada company, where we're basically like the Uber for ants. So instead of importing ants from different countries to different countries, because that's illegal and it's also ecologically dangerous, we decided to start what's called the GAN Project, which stands for Global Ant Nursery. And what we do is we recruit ant keepers from all over the world to sell ants in their city. And so let's say you're a customer and you need an ant colony with a queen. You tell me what city you're from, and then I'll hook you up with one of our GAN farmers to sell you one of his colonies. And that's how people can buy ant colonies instead of having to catch their own if that proves to be too hard for them. So we manage that as well, which is more of an advocacy for keeping native ants and not endangering your environment that way. So we do that too. And then now we're hoping to venture into the education sector where we want to provide ant farms for schools. So we're kind of keeping busy over at Ants Canada.
When you say ants farm, are they formicaria?
Yes, is that what it's correct. Called? Yeah. They're called formicariums, yeah, right. Or formicaria. Yeah, it's the technical term essentially for ant farm.
Right. And help us understand, Mikey, how do you source for queen ants?
Yeah, well, through our GAN project, the ant farmers that we recruit or ant keepers that sign up with us through the GAN project to sell their ants, they just catch their ants and queens from their area. So let's say you're someone from Malaysia, right? And the ants in Malaysia tend to fly and mate at the beginning of the rainy season. So ant farmers in Malaysia go and they catch as many queen ants as they can from their area. They raise colonies from them and then they sell them to fellow Malaysians, to fellow ant keepers in their particular region in Malaysia. So that's how it works. It's kind of our eco-friendly and legal way of providing queen ants to people all over the world so they can keep ants as well.
Is there a debate over the ethicalities of ant keeping? Can ant keeping contribute to the environment, really?
Yes, there are several debates. One of them being keeping exotic ants. There are some collectors in the hobby who order exotic ants from other countries and they have them imported. And just like a lot of imported fauna, they're often imported illegally. So that's kind of wrong. And also, having a non-native ant species in your country can endanger your local ecosystem. So we encourage people to not do this and to simply keep ants caught from their area. It's also a lot easier. So there's that. How can it help the environment? Well, first, it inspires conservation. And again, as I mentioned, that's Ants Canada's main drive to inspire conservation because say you're a young person or you're a parent with your child keeping ants, you inspire the youth to want to take care of their own ecosystem because they understand that ants are part of this big sort of ecological circle, this web of life, you know? And I feel like that's very important in this day and age.
Let's get on to the challenges, Mikey. Does it ever get overwhelming when the ants grow in numbers?
Yes, it does. See, the ants here in the tropics, just like in Malaysia, the ant colonies grow very fast. They grow almost twice as fast as the ants that I grew up with in Canada, only because in temperate regions, the ants hibernate during the winter. So the colonies essentially go to sleep during this time. So they don't grow or eat at all, Whereas in the tropics here, it's so hot and ants are constantly on steroids, so to speak. And they're just they're growing fast, and they grow in numbers that are inconceivable, really, for most ant keepers. And I'm going through that issue right now, which is okay because I have an ant channel. So they're having a lot of ants means a lot of content to create.
Right.
But it can get challenging. One of the species I have is Solanopsis geminata, which are red tropical fire ants. Now, these ants are so fast growing, it's crazy. And they're also a stinging species. And every time I work around them, even if I'm wearing gloves, for some reason, one or two are able to get into underneath my gloves and sting me. So that I have random bumps on my arms and stuff, and they really hurt. But they're love bites for me. But yeah, it can get challenging when you're dealing with some species. Some species of ants are a lot more difficult to keep than others.
Do you ever have escapees?
I rarely do, only because the setups that I keep them in are really designed to keep ants in. So thankfully, I haven't yet. But in Canada, when I was first starting and first testing our products, I had a couple ants escape, but nothing too serious yet. Fingers crossed they don't ever happen.
Yeah. Mikey, do people underestimate the difficulty of picking up the hobby? Like, is the cost a factor in ant keeping?
That's a good question. No, I feel like ant keeping, the true soul of ant keeping, is not money dependent. I was keeping ants using just ordinary products that I had in my home. And it's very simple to make your own formicarium if you want to. Now, we have a tutorial on YouTube on how to create your own formicarium using just simple materials that you can get from a hardware store or even from your home, because we feel that you don't need to be rich or have a lot of money to enjoy ant keeping. Now, we have products at the shop that are premium quality products. So for those who want to eliminate all guesswork and get really prime formicariums right off the bat, they can order from our site. Otherwise, they can try their hand at making their own formicarium. And there are different ways you can create a formicarium. There isn't just one way. So yeah, you can definitely start even if you don't have a lot of money or a large budget to start with.
Mikey, tell us about Ants Canada future plans moving forward.
Well, at the moment, we are very busy with our current projects, but who knows where it'll take us. You know, at this point, Ants Canada has grown to, I don't know, it's grown to such proportions that I never would have expected. So I'm just kind of enjoying the ride as we go and trying to continually create quality content for YouTube, because it surprises me, actually, how many people have ant love. You know, it's really amazing. I never thought, I think right now we're almost at 600,000 subscribers. And that just blows my mind. I would never in my, you know, wildest dreams think that anyone, 600 people, 1,000 people would actually care about ants, because people usually kind of ignore ants or they scowl at them. They think they're gross. So we're going to continue to inspire ant love in as many ways as we can, whether it be through our YouTube channel, through our products, through schools, and who knows, maybe through nature shows one day. We'll see.
And do you plan to go just beyond ant keeping?
Yeah, people have asked if we were ever going to go into termite keeping or beekeeping.
Or cockroach keeping. Oh.
Yeah, right. Not too sure yet, but who knows? Again, who knows where this amazing Ants Canada wave will take us. We'll see.
Okay. And Mikey, lastly, you know, many people look at ants like pests or as pests. Mm-hmm. What will you tell people who do not share the love for ants, and how can you change their minds about ants?
Yeah, well, first off, I don't blame people for feeling that ants are a nuisance because a handful of them do live in homes and they can be a pest. And by the way, we're releasing a video this Saturday about how to deal with pest ants and some home remedies. So look out for that. But I think they should also open their eyes to the thousands of other species of ants that are not house pests that are very important for the environment. And I find it's kind of Ants Canada's mission to show people that. And a lot of people have been commenting on the channel saying, you know, I used to hate ants, or I used to kill ants, or I used to think ants were gross. But after these videos, I love ants, you know, and it's great that so many people have converted their perceptions on these creatures that are, you know, normally seen as pests So to those who are like that and who see ants as pests, I hope you can kind of look at them closer and see that not all ants are house pests and that a lot of them are just really, really cool creatures that are important to you and I.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey, for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed.
Yeah, thank you. That was really a very mind-blowing sort of experience, just, you know, hearing about how ants can not actually be a pest, but really useful for the environment. Wow.
I'm just as blown away by the ants as you are.
Right. Thank you so much, Mikey.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks so much.
It's been quite a story. I've been speaking with an ant keeper, Mikey Bustos. If you missed part of this interview, fret not. Head on to our website at bfm.my to download the podcast, or you can search Careers Unusual on the BFM mobile app, available on the App Store and on Google Play. I'm Jermaine B, and this is Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.